Good morning again.
Good morning.
One day in the Old West, an old woman walked into town and hitched her mule to a hitching post. As she stood there in front of the saloon, dusting off the dirt and dust from her hat and her clothes, a young gunslinger stepped out of the saloon with a gun in one hand and a bottle of whiskey in the other. And the young gunslinger looked at the old woman and he laughed and he said, "Hey, old woman, have you ever danced?" Well, the old woman looked up thoughtfully and she said, "No, I never did dance. Never really wanted to." Well, now this was a small town, so a crowd began to gather because they knew this guy. They were looking for a little excitement. So, the young gunslinger said, "You're gonna dance now." And he pulled out his gun, well, he had his gun in his hand, and he started shooting at the old woman's legs, feet and legs. And of course, she didn't want to get her toes shot off, so she started hopping up and down, and the crowd started laughing. Now, all the men who were in the saloon heard the gunshots going off, all six of them went off, and the laughter, and they ran to the window to see what was going on. And as they looked, they saw the gunslinger put his empty gun into his holster and turn around slowly, still laughing, and starting to walk back into the saloon. Well, they also saw the old woman step to her mule, pull out a double-barreled shotgun, and cock both hammers. Well, it got really quiet then. Now the young gunslinger, he heard the noises too, right? So he slowly turned around and he looked at the old woman. Her eyes were steely. She wasn't smiling. And she held that shotgun with a sure hand. It did not quiver in the least. And he looked at those two barrels that were pointed straight at his chest. And the silence was deafening until the old woman said, "Son, have you ever kissed a mule's ass?" And he thought for a second. "No, ma'am," he said. "But I've always wanted to." Now there are five lessons that the old woman wanted to teach the young gunslinger so he could live till his next birthday. Number one, don't be a bully. Number two, don't waste ammunition. Number three, whiskey makes you think you're smarter than you are. Number four, always make sure you know who has the power. And five, don't mess with old women. They didn't get old by being stupid. Now, I love that story, and for a year now, I've been trying to figure out how to weave it into a Sunday lesson. So today, I'm going to give it my best shot, pardon the pun. Now, I want to tell you about another older woman named Reverend Edwene Gaines. Now, Edwene Gaines is a Unity minister, and she's been a minister almost nearly 50 years. She is as wise as the old prospector woman. Edwene is a wonderful person, quiet, intuitive, wise, has a sharp sense of humor. And she teaches Unity truth to people around the world, actually. Now, Edwene was asked one time, "How do you know if there is still more forgiveness work to do?" And she said, "You can tell if you have more forgiveness work to do by asking yourself one question. Are you breathing? If you are breathing, you still have more forgiveness work to do." So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a spiritual practice that frees us from the prison of regret and brings victory over every victim experience. It clears away the anguish, that blame brings and ultimately ends the blame game altogether. It removes the filters of judgment that block us from being able to see the present moment's goodness and the possibilities, the unlimited possibilities, great, you know, from the daily word, within ourselves and within the world. Forgiveness heals a broken heart and restores it to unconditional love and acceptance. It is a practice that allows you to look into the eyes of someone who hurt you terribly and to say with sincerity and love in your heart, I forgive you, I release you, and mean it. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. Our forgiving someone unchains us from the offending person by seeing past the appearance of their transgressions and seeing them whole, perfect, and complete, and worthy of love. But forgiveness can be very confusing. Many people misunderstand what forgiveness is and how it really works. We get very, very lost in this whole concept. We all want forgiveness, right? But we usually want it on our own terms. We're willing to forgive if a person pays us back for what they did to us, or if they pay us back monetarily, or if they say they're sorry, or if justice is served by our definition. We have conditions on how and who we will forgive. When we do that, we are like the young gunslinger who was selfish, arrogant bully in the way he disseminated his ideas of justice in other people's lives. This arrogance, this bullying, this fear blocks us from having the true sacred experience of living a vibrant life of unlimited possibilities. We want the freedom in our mind and our hearts, that precious freedom that comes from having peace of mind, that comes from the God within us that guides us to act in a loving and forgiving manner. But like the young gunslinger who wasted his ammunition, we waste our energy trying to be in control, trying to get others to live their lives on our terms, or are resisting others who are trying to control us. We cannot harbor a resentment against the neighbor and have a sublime experience of God. It doesn't work like that. We cannot have both at the same time. We cannot be hateful and loving at the same time. So we've got to really be willing to do some pretty deep work here, because we need to look at life from a different perspective. A big reason that we find it hard to forgive is because we were raised to be self-sufficient and in control. From early age, we were taught to be strong, competitive, and our own person, believing that we cannot trust others and that we must do everything ourselves is damaging to us and blocks us from the gifts of love that come through community and forgiveness. We were not made to be self-sufficient, but our ego has a huge need to be right. We get great satisfaction from saying the words, I'm right. I know I'm right, right? But you think you're right. And it really stinks when the other person thinks they're right, because you both can't be right at the same time, and you know you're right, right? And of course they're wrong. You can insist on being right, but you won't get anything else. You won't get connection, you won't get freedom, you won't get growth, you won't get love, and you won't get a solution. You won't get anything that is good and true and eternal. So if you insist on being right, you can be right, but you won't find peace of mind. Our ego does not put us on the path to peace of mind. It makes us unbalanced and jaded in our view of things. The young gunslinger's whiskey is like our egos. Our egos make us feel smart and right, like the gunslinger's whiskey made him feel smart and right. I think the other reason we don't really have the full experience of forgiveness is because we don't understand who we really are. In the Jesus Channeled book, Understanding Your Soul, Jesus channeled this, and it's kind of a long quote, so I apologize for that. Quote, We are all individual souls on our own path of learning here on earth. When you understand that you walk your own unique path, surrounded by love, you can only love and support others on theirs. You will realize those who have injured you are also on a path far different from you perhaps, but one that you need to acknowledge and you need to accept. One that you need to know is their path. You cannot know why they are on their path. You know not what they were meant to accomplish in that life. You know only what you are meant to accomplish, and you are meant to accomplish love. So, forgiveness becomes a little bit easier when you realize it is not about you. This is still Jesus talking. It is about them. That is their path. The people whom you are to interact with will not always be good. When you intersect with that person, it may have an outcome that you would deem to be unpleasant at that moment, unquote. Our little physical selves cannot forgive in the same sense that spirit can. But we can't prepare our hearts to forgive by wanting the best for ourselves and others. It is the Christ within us, our divine self, that wants redemption, that wants connection, which wants wholeness for ourselves and others. When we raise our consciousness so that we can heed the call of our inner Christ, we will ask for God's help. And our asking activates the spiritual law of love within us, which forgives and heals. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11:24, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Now, according to Jesus, our part is to ask and believe that we will receive. During prayer, we must turn away from the materialistic, egoic blabberings in our head and focus on our spiritual nature. Prayer is a time when the mind and the heart are open and awaiting inspiration. During prayer, we become aware of our connection with God because we have focused on our divine self. We have raised our energy from low vibration self-centeredness to a higher vibration of love and community. Now our asking and believing carry power and weight for good to come into our universe. So, regarding forgiveness, we must stop using our energy ineffectively. We don't sit back and wait for the offending person to change before we forgive them, but we change our attitude, our energy. We are the ones who are responsible for changing our energy and our vibration to eliminate our misery. God can't do that for us. When we worry, fret, are anxious, angry, and bitter, all those emotions take a lot of our energy. We use up our ammunition like the gunslinger did, trying to get our way. To receive redemption, we must walk in love. We must believe in love. We must act in love. That's our part. How do we begin to raise our vibration so that we can walk in love? We raise our vibration by loving ourselves. Love yourself first. Love yourself foremost. Acknowledge the fact that you worry, judge, get anxious, angry, jealous, bitter, or revengeful. Do not condemn yourself for having those feelings, for you are worthy only of love. I'm going to say that again. You are worthy only of love. Let's say that together in the first person, together. I am worthy only of love. Thank you. There is no such thing as condemnation in God's world. Just love yourself and allow yourself to release these emotions. All you can do is walk your own path and love others while they walk on their path. Remember, you are a soul who is trying to expand your energy. And the way to do that is through love. That is your only purpose on this earth. We must do one more thing. We must stop telling ourselves and others the story of how we were hurt. Don't repeat that story. Our ego wants us to repeat the story. Repeating the story makes the mind and the emotional body return to when the painful event happened. It happened in the past. When we repeat the story of how we were done wrong, we get reconnected to all that conflict and pain, and we bring the past into the present moment. We are no longer connected to divine at that moment. We're then connected to our ego, again, connected to our victim story. Here is why letting go of telling our tale of woe is so difficult. We like repeating our story. Our imaginations can paint self-righteous indignation to such gigantic proportions that it makes us feel powerful. People feel sorry for us. We get to commiserate with like-minded sufferers. But appearances are deceiving. While the negative emotional regurgitation gets our addictive adrenaline going, it is really keeping us weak and prisoners of our own thinking. Our ego wants disconnection, separation, aloneness, and to be right. Our egos keep us separated and alone from God and others when we repeat our victim story. We must be cautious because these old stories, which are our ego's way of controlling us, are fast, sneaky, and persistent. And it's easy to be drawn back into the ego's trip. So when the story comes back into your head, and surely it will, perhaps many, many times, don't feel bad. Don't worry about it. Think of it as another opportunity to forgive yourself. How often did Jesus tell us to forgive? 70 times 7. And in one Bible, 70 times 77. I did that in the calculator. It's a large number. In other words, all the time, every time until it is done, we are no longer breathing, according to Edwin Gaines. When we live in our ego, separate from God, we are really living by appearance. Our focus becomes fixated on how things look and how they affect us. The young gunslinger was looking at the old woman's appearance when he decided to mess with her. He probably thought, she's old and stupid. I'm going to have some fun. Now, the young gunslinger, bombastically wielding his gun and bullets at an old woman, made him feel powerful. But he didn't realize that it was the old woman who had the power. The old woman prospector's quietness and calmness was her strength and power. When we realize that our power comes when we become quiet and rest in God's benevolent sanctum that lives in our heart, then we want to use forgiveness to glorify God's love. And we are the ones whom God blesses with peace, love, and joy. Living with and in God means we look past appearances. There are many wise women in the unity movement, and men and children too, because unity has taught us to become prospectors of our own souls, searching for the gold that is hidden within our own hearts and within the hearts of others. We in unity are like the old prospector woman. We are learning to mine our own gold, the spiritual gold within ourselves. All the negative talk and behavior that we and others spill out into the atmosphere covers over all the shining gold of Christ's light within ourselves. When we don't know that we have spiritual gold within us, we can't see it in anyone else either. Our lower self, our ego, is arrogant, insisting on being right, and harboring resentment and pettiness deep down within us. It causes us to wallow in vehement feelings that hurt us and others. We seek relief through materialism and status, thinking we need all the physical gold so we can be somebody and feel powerful. But that is our ego making us think we are strong, when our ego is really making us weak. The hole within us that we are always trying to fill by judging and bullying others never gets filled without forgiveness. Forgiveness is the shovel that we can use to fill that bottomless hole, that insatiable craving and need within ourselves. As we dig frantically to find peace of mind, we realize that materialism and things will not bring us peace. The peace we seek is the elusive, precious jewel, and it is hidden in a secret place. It is hidden within us. When we realize that our Christ self is that priceless gem that we have been seeking, we then ask how to bring it forth from deep within us. As we discover our priceless gift from our own inner world, we see our value and share our gold, our golden spirit, with the world through forgiveness and other loving actions. We then are wise, like the old prospector woman, and we carry the quiet, powerful weapon of truth, love, and forgiveness in our hearts. Unity shines brightly because it teaches us how to mine our own spiritual gold. Mining our gold brings not just peace of mind, but it brings healing, abundance, health, friendships, satisfying relationships, success, purpose, guidance, love, joy, and peace to us. That's a lot we give. Forgiveness and love bring all of that to us when we become open and ask. Sarah, could you hit the next slide, please? The old prospector woman tried to teach the young gunslinger some valuable life lessons. Perhaps we can learn from the young gunslinger's mistakes. There's a little cheat sheet. It's a blue thing that was in your bulletin. And it's the same information that's on the screen. There are vast differences between living in unforgiveness, which is ego fear-centeredness, and living in forgiveness, which is God love-centeredness. Number one rule from the old prospector woman, don't be a bully. Needing to be right makes us arrogant bullies to ourselves and others. It makes us intolerant and unforgiving. Being unable to tolerate others will not bring us peace of mind. Unforgiveness makes us miserable, while being kind makes us joyful. Number two, don't waste ammunition. We entertain ourselves and others with our negative stories, and that negativity wastes our precious energy. Sending out hateful thoughts wounds us, while shooting out loving thoughts heals us. Be focused. Build positive energy through thought, prayer, and action. Number three, whiskey makes us think we are smarter than we are. The gunslinger was seduced into thinking whiskey made him wise. Things on the outside of us, in the physical world like materialism, possessions, competition, and human satisfactions, do not make us smart. We end up in a rabbit hole chasing an illusion. Open-mindedness and self-reflection makes us smart. Focusing on materialism curses us, while focusing on spirituality blesses us. Number four, know who has the power. Our ego is loud and demanding, and it weakens our heart. Your true power comes from surrendering to the quiet place within you, not from loudly wielding emotional and physical grandiosity. When we believe our ego, we are weak. Believing God makes us powerful. In grace and forgiveness is where our power lies. Number five, don't mess with old women. When we judge by appearances like the gunslinger did with the old woman, we cheat ourselves of a beautiful experience of learning. Every person, animal, plant, every living thing has a wisdom. Be open to hear the wisdom from every living being. Wisdom is like the song of night. You have to really be still to hear it whispering to you. Judging by appearance leaves us sealed off, wanting for connection, insatiable and hungry for the truth, while finding and judging by the truth leaves us satisfied. We are never finished with forgiveness. If we are still breathing, we still need to keep forgiving. Let us look for the little ways that we can forgive. And let us forgive freely. Forgiveness is our bridge to our own freedom. It is appropriate that the 4th of July was this week. Forgiveness is God's gift of freedom to us. Forgiveness makes us free. Let's say that together. Forgiveness makes me free. Let's choose to be free, and we start the process by praying. So let's pray. Let's begin by reciting the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. So let's ready ourselves for our meditation. Close your eyes if that feels comfortable. Take some deep, slow breaths. Allow your mind to relax and become willing to open your heart. In this receptive place, take these words into yourself as your own. God is the perfect life within my mind, my heart, and my being. God and I are one. In this moment, I surrender to my divinity, my wholeness, my own holiness. I let go, and I let God be God in my life. And in this open, receptive place, I claim forgiveness as my bridge to freedom. Gracious, wonderful Spirit, thank you for walking me across that bridge. I see myself on my own path, and I see others on their path, all of us walking in love and divine order. I forgive myself. I forgive those who have hurt me. I forgive the situation. I forgive everything. Let's take a few moments in the quiet to invite and allow this warm, vibrant light of love and forgiveness to soak into every fiber of our being. I thank you, sweet Spirit, for awakening within us a deeper understanding of forgiveness. And for this, we are very grateful. Thank you. And so it is. Amen.